as I was getting ready and getting my notes ready when I first met you, like when, and I like can't really remember, which I think kind of, again, attests to your presence in my experience of being in New York and like...
Right, I can't put a year on it.
Yeah, no, but it's, but I was reflecting. exactly. And like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, hearing you perform that, I remember for the first time. And
those are fun. And in those times, I was like, this is fun because I always felt good that like, I had it in the bag. At the end of the day, yeah. A lot of musicians, like a lot of performers, things could go wrong and then they could be fucked up and can't perform and they miss out on the bag. And I'm like, all right, well, it never really matters. Just turn me on.
Exactly. Keep it pumping.
I love that about me. That's it. Really. Mm-hmm. I hope that I never lose that. But I want other people to feel like that, especially musicians, young musicians to feel like that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, cut the cords. We should be in a riot. I should be able to literally start a fire and a riot and everyone out of control and you step up and go off. You know?
I mean, who knows? We might be there one day soon. I want you singing in the middle of the riot.
But maybe I'll get to scream a real riot.
Yeah. I want to back it up even earlier in your life than when we first met, just for the people to fill them in. Where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Where'd you grow up?
Yep. Brooklyn, New York, born and raised in Flatbush, Trinidadian descent. Father's a Rastafarian, mother's a Pentecostal preacher, grandmother's a Pentecostal preacher, grandfather's a musician, uncle's a musician, gospel recording artist. It's crazy. My whole mother's side. A fucking concert, gospel concert. Every time we get together, it's a concert.
That's amazing.
That's where I got my strictness in music from. That's where I got, if I wasn't right or if I didn't resolve a certain note, I might get slapped in the face. Not in a abusive way, but just in a like, get your shit together before you get up from this table, or like, eat this food before you get up from this table. I was more like, play this chord before you get up from this table.
Mm-hmm. And
it free because in church, you know, music, I'm broke, you know, I wasn't rich child, so church was our way to do. And from those free classes in music, being in church, a lot of musicians I grew up with are now heavy hitters with Grammys, and they play for like the top artists, and it's crazy. And all because of just like, I guess, focus in the church, and just like the church always either inspiring you or forcing you,
right,
you know, to dive in. That was me. I got a little older. I went to high school, and this is Brooklyn, New York, early 2000s high school. That means dance hall was lit. So I kind of shifted from gospel singer singing with my uncle, singing on my uncle's gospel record, or singing for a pastor's background, to dance hall dancing, wearing H&M. What did that mean? But dancing, because it was just a culture. It was just a culture like of dance hall, Brooklyn, growing up, blah, blah, blah. Right. It was like, what set you from? What dance crew you from? So that was that. High school. And from that, I think I like weaved away a little bit from recording music. I was always, you can't stop me from singing. I'm singing as soon as I wake up. That's from since I was a child. You just can't stop me from making any sound whatsoever. But I think in high school I took a little break from actual playing or performing, even in church. I had music in school, so I stopped by. I like a little ego kid. I'll stop by the music department and jam with them, or like if I'm in the mood I'll carry, blah blah blah. I started smoking weed by then too, so then yeah, still doing music, but there was no efficiency in it. You know, it was very, very, very cocky. It was very like, oh, I got this paper already. Let me put it in the folder. So I definitely put it in the folder. High school, while it's in the folder, here goes fucking shame. And then there goes 10 years of my life doing fashion. I didn't waste 10, well now 13 years in fashion. I didn't waste the years, but I also didn't learn until towards the end of these, well, not even the end, but towards now in my fashion career, that I should weave my music in even more. So that happened. And that's how Love Champion got started. And Charles was able to There's some fun jams on there. Headless.
Yes. Headless. Yes. I was thinking about
Visit that album. It's some good.
You songs. Should. It's really good. I was doing the same earlier today. And I think one of my favorites is from that record is High. I just love that song. And I kind of remember you performing it live, like before the record came out. I feel like it was, remember that? Like, I think it was a Pornhub party at Le Bon where they like had everyone in the hotel rooms.
Yes.
I think you sang it there.
But then they gave me Grindr. It was a Grindr party. They gave
Grindr, whoops.
Shorty, I'm not just tryna hit it. I've been on you sexy all night, pumping this loud. It's yours if you with it. Oh, you could forget about your problems. If not, I promise we can call them.
I just wanna be
smoke it up.
It's all about you.
That body, my temple, so I respect it. Yeah. Trust, I never want to neglect to give me what's mine. You're so within sex. Oh,
you could forget about your problem. If not, I promise we can solve it.
I just want to be
song. I wrote that song with my cousin at his house when we were bored. He's another church musician. That's the thing. Growing up with them is so easy to do it, and I didn't understand how easy it was on the other side for the other ones who didn't know that it was that easy to do it. So mm-hmm. now that I'm in this industry so much, I didn't realize how easy it was to do what I wanted. Like, it's instant. Because in the industry, these LA cats, like these big time producers and stuff like that, they wanna check out their shopping cart as soon as they buy.
Right.
So if they want to make an artist, they need songs immediately. They need an idea. They want to know what this artist is going to look like. They want to know this. They want to know the long-term girl before they check out on this artist. I got those answers immediately because I already spent 13 years in fashion. I know what the look is. I know what the sound is supposed to be because I'm a church boy. And if you don't like the church sound, that doesn't mean you don't like music. That doesn't mean I don't understand musicianship. So I know what that right. is.
Exactly.
That's what I'm holding on dear, because my goal is not to be any sort of artist. Like, I don't give a fuck if nobody real. I don't give a fuck if it just becomes just a bunch of interviews where it's a legend story where you just find out who I am like that. That's not my goal. I want a Quincy Jones timeline right now. I want to develop so many artists.
Hell yeah.
And I'm grown. I'm not a child. I am not here for girls to be like, oh, you sound good. I want to like be a fan. Cute, but you're going to be a fan of an army of girls like me. Like an army.
Yes.
It sounds like I want to start a label, and that might be the case, I guess, for the bit, but it felt like I want to start a school.
Yeah.
It's more of a school. Like, yeah, I need to learn what's up, because a lot of people's cool, but y'all cool because y'all look cool.
Right.
And I'm glad to say that I may have had a hand in that too. But I want you to sound cool.
Exactly.
There are programs that are available online now for you to press 3 buttons mm-hmm. and you have a song.
Exactly.
Cool, but what happens if you got to play that song live on tour? Sure, backing track, cool. But what happens when...
But then what?
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what's up?
That's amazing.
The 70s, it was Soul Train, all these people, Motown... They were traveling. Yeah, there was a little PA systems going down. Yes, there was a little sound. But come on, at the end of the day, they was like, all right, well, we still here. We going to play anyway. You know?
I feel like that's such a thing.
Everybody. So it's like, such a thing. So I want to start a school.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, it's...
Whoever wants to invest. That's definitely a long term
open call. Open call.
Right. Call.
But yeah, like the industry, the way it... things are now, it's like there is no A&R, like there's no like
none.
People don't really invest none. Like that.
And I dissect every music, anything I hear, I dissect it immediately with notes from someone else. Anything I see, I dissect mm-hmm. it immediately with notes. It's Dia Prada with visuals in my head. And then it's whatever critique music thing also in my head at the same time, just ready to roll out. So it's time.
Hell yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready for the army to assemble.
But to reel it back into the record, this is why I'm showing people that I can do not just a T-Pain, but also right. happen to with funk.
Mm-hmm.
With then in 2020 by us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so. It was Love Champion in like 2013, right? And then the next record, Sugar Sex Tape, right?
Right, because I was just like, what is it?
I mean, you were busy.
I was really busy, but not busy enough to take that long of a break, but I took a long break. But I was busy. But I'm glad I took that break because Sugar Sex Tape is fire.
It's oh my god, it's so good.
The sophomore vibe that is definitely different than the first. Like the first, I would literally really consider a freshman diva. Like a strong freshman diva. But Sugar Sex Tape, I was able to like branch off into some real shit. I got to work with a lot of people. I actually opened up to work with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because Love Champion is just me and my cousin. And
I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, Love Champion is just me and my cousin and and homies that were in around in the room, you know. Real. I've got Gabby. I got like a Gabby. Remember?
Yeah.
Gabby, by the way. Gabby's on it. Khalif's on it.
Yep.
Like Mickey Blanco, just because I don't know, like it was one of those weird. I don't know what that. I'm gonna revisit that album.
You should highly recommend.
It was lit. I branched off and got to do some fun shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Everything I said about Love Champion, that I lied to the press about how much I love the dream and love the future. They didn't understand it, I guess, until I actually put out Sugar Sex Tape and really meant what I said. So I guess Sugar Sex, my tribute actually to what I really meant about how I dream and T-Pain and Teddy Riley and all of that sound that people don't give credit to. It's not just Auto-Tune and Melodyne and Ableton. It really isn't.
No.
Because it is. Those are the tools. But the source is just the mindset of how you do it. Because when you do certain acrobats that they do, it's not a normal, an engineer would lose their mind if you a raw file of things that they're doing that's being like, you know, transposed into like the sound that we hear. Like it's a sound behind it. And they're geniuses. And I fucking love them. And there's an EP dedicated to them.
Yes.
Got it out the way. Coming back to it. That's my sound whenever I have to deal with like hip hop people.
Mm-hmm.
People, but like whenever I collab with hip hop artists or whenever you want to, whenever there's an Ian Isaiah in a hip hop situation or whenever you want to reference, oh, this kid used to like chant crazy at Ghetto Gothic and he sings, that's that.
Right. Sugar Sex Tape. Yeah, there's so many good songs that I listen to all the time. 24/7, Situationship, Bedroom, to name a few. Persistent.
Persistent was, that happened in 10 seconds.
Really?
And yeah, Morris. Morris was a
Okay, I was going to ask, who did it? Because it sounds crazy, but that makes all the sense in the world.
My man is funked out. I love him so much. I can't wait to get back to LA to work with him. But he's a genius. He had it sitting on it. He was sitting on it on a file. And he had the nerve to play something that he was sitting on while smoking weed with me at his house. And that's the wrong thing to do. So I get on it. We ended up loving it. And to be honest with you, after loving it, we sat on it for a year.
Oh, wow. Funny how that works sometimes.
I wrote Persistent after Love Champion and then just left it.
Mm.
Then came back and then filled it in with Sugar Sex Tape because it felt right. And now it's all love the most because I also put it with the Pornhub vibe and it's also just...
Right.
It also speaks to the whole sex tape and sex vibe, so...
That iconic and video.
All the compliments... First of all, I'm thankful for everything, every compliment I've got from the Sugar Sex Tape, but all the compliments I've got from like hip hop heads, like top hip hop heads that I would just meet in passing, just on tour with Dev and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, two homies will be like, yo, that Persistent joint is fire. I'm like, wow, that's cute.
Cause it slabs. What did you say? Trying to get some pussy in this bitch, got honey up. Like, it feels like that. Like, what you're saying, the song feels like what it feels to be feeling that.
And that's another one. And I also wanted to reintroduce the fact that hooks are important.
Mm-hmm.
One line for 3 minutes. Because people don't understand hooks are important. That's what reels people in. I mean, pop heads understand that. Billboards understand that. But the younger artists like us, we don't understand. Like, they don't get it.
Yeah.
Tryna get some pussy in this shit. Tryna get some pussy in this shit. Got that Henny on deck. Got that Henny on deck. Girl, I'm really thinking she my bitch. Thinking she my bitch. That ooey body thing. That ooey body thing. Henny on deck. Henny on deck. Got that Henny on deck. Henny on deck. Hitting you dead.
Sugar Sex Tape. And mm-hmm. then after that, but I dive deep in Dev Hines. Mm-hmm. Still dive in Dev Hines. And I would dive deep in Dev Hines. He woke me back up. And mm-hmm. I'm so thankful he woke me back up, because I did get a little stale.
I mean,
great. It's hard. I don't know if you noticed, but It's fun auto-tune stuff. You know, for a church boy, for me, that's 10 minutes worth of stuff. I've been done with Sugar Sex Tape.
Yeah.
But it's like, it brought me back and reminded me that I'm a musician, you know, I'm a singer, I don't need anything, you know? And mm-hmm. then, and that was just recording with him. That was just in the studio, me going over there and just being, and like him forcing me to just be a musician.
Yeah.
That was studio. You know, for his, just in the studio. And then we went on tour. And that's it. I mean, I don't know if I should say this in an interview, but I have another album that's already done.
Oh, that shit.
That me and Dev already wrote. I wrote another album. That'll be my first actual album. This wow. Auntie, I guess it's considered an EP, but it's my funk album. But
Special project.
Yeah, I already wrote the next album.
How exciting.
We went to Sonic Wrench in Texas for a week. Who knows? Like 20 centimeters from the border, we had a, like, it just stayed at Sonic Ranch, which is like this famous, now famous studio that's like an old motel style.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That was like outside, drive, uh-huh. like, it's residency. It's a musician's residency. It's a residency, but also
yeah.
So just like all the art girls who be going off talking about, oh, we had these residencies, bitch. Music.
Yes.
We wrote and produced the album. That's fire. And it sounds like Justin Timberlake's Future Love Sounds.
Which still slaps, even though I don't like to think too much about him anymore. That's very exciting. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's 2021, though.
Ooh, okay.
But
we'll be there soon enough.
No.
You talked a little bit about fashion and kind of, you know, that that's been just as much of your practice as music, I'd say. Yeah. And I'm just curious kind of like how the visual fits into your
feel practice. Like it's fired something a lot because I've never wanted to work in fashion. I probably say this every day still. This is Shane's dream. I supported him so much because it's his dream. But at the same time, I love style.
Right.
And I realized within, even in my early career in Hawaii, I realized that it wasn't fashion to us. It was culture. I was raising culture. Or I was trying to show culture. I was trying to show culture.
Exactly.
So culture in general just molded everything about what I say, how I speak to people, or how I do anything with anything. It's just like, I'm always just trying to mold what I think is what I think we're late on and we need to be doing something. And I thought that process would go through music, but it went through clothes for me first. I was able to show that through clothes first.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that would, thinking back on it, I feel like that's harder than through music. I should be able to sing and be like, oh, be yourself, la 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 la. But no, I decided to go with my friends and tell you to be yourself in a latex panty or something. I don't know.
Yes.
But great. Everything I've learned, I've loved. and it's still going.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I should say this either in the interview, but I'm working. I'm back to work now. Hood by Air. So.
Yeah, we got some very exciting months ahead in all those realms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm...
Merch. Is bigger merch.
Mm-hmm.
Is sooner than later.
Yeah, I guess I think, to me, I mean, you're an icon in so many ways, but definitely a style icon.
Wow.
It was funny, too, when I was, looking at the old videos and thinking of, the Ian Isaiah of then and the Ian Isaiah of now and kind of how you've evolved in your look. And of course things have been, there's a consistency to all of it, but I don't know if the evolution has been.
It's definitely an evolution. It went from, let me just buy this at Forever 21 and H&M and make it, cut it out so it looks like what I need, to having a team to do that for me, to just wearing what I made. And now I just literally just wear what I made or wear what a friend made.
Right.
Yes. But I'm glad that now because of it, all my friends now make clothes. Virgil makes clothes. Heron makes these people used to work at HBA helping us when we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm glad these friends, and they're doing it crazy. And now the world, the culture can't live without them.
Exactly.
You know, you know how much money was in the room when we were in the club when we were younger? No, neither did I. Neither did
I. Right? Now we know.
And it's like,
now we know for sure.
I don't know if we all know. I feel like we are to come together. I hope I get a call from somebody investment to be like, hey, I'm from this big label or I'm from this big radio station like NTS, and I know that you work in fashion, which means you have a good little Rolodex, and we happen to find out that you're also a musician and we're in rough times, and it'll be a good time to organize a cute little We Are the World track.
I want you on that so bad.
Jackson did 25, 30 years ago with all those people. It'll be a good time. Now, just saying, NTS.
The producer in me is like, all right, what do we got to do to make that happen? Let's go.
Hey,
call times.
Right.
Wow.
But that would be great.
We can dream. So I feel like I think I asked most of what I want to ask. Just to remind everyone, we got to keep watch for Auntie this summer.
Oh, yeah. Auntie, this summer, get your spatulas out because I got the barbecue music going, bitch.
Hey. And then there's one question I always like to end with.
Let's go.
Which is, if I could play any song that the people need to hear that's not yours.
J Blige, right now.
Wait, say it again.
World by Mary J. Blige. I Care by Beyonce. Ashanti, Foolish. Braxton. I Don't Want Nobody Else. What song is that? I don't even know.
That's perfect.
I don't know, but I could keep going.
Listen up to me.
Je danse. C'est la musique.